I'm on the phone right now with Annette Pettignano. Thanks for joining me, Annette.
It's a pleasure.
Annette was one half the duo of Ricky and Vicky. How did you get interested in music?
I have to give credit to my father. He was a drummer, and he was with some of the big bands like Lionel Hampton. He played drums for. He also played drums for Dizzy Gillespie. He also did some kind of drumming with Gene Cooper, who was a famous drummer back then. So there was music influence in our family to begin with because of my father.
So you were always listening to music in some form or another, was always coming out of the house.
Exactly. And at the time, it was also my older brother, Charles, who was into the rock and roll era, Elvis Presley, Gene Cooper, you know, things like that.
Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Manhattan, Lower East Side, born and raised there.
When did you get started doing things musically?
Well, I used to, you know, always hum over songs that my brothers would play on their record player. Believe it or not, at that time, they were called record players, not CDs. So I always listened to their music, and I used to, you know, mimic the artists, you know, like sing like kind of like karaoke, but it wasn't karaoke then, singing along with the records that they were playing. You know, always sang in the house, but, you know, never thought that it was going to lead to something more professional.
What were the first steps that led you to getting something professional together and getting with your brother?
I have to give credit to my father. He was managing another group, which was one of my brother's groups, my brother Rick Anthony, and he was in a doo-wop group called The Styles. So my father was already managing that group. And then I think he overheard myself and my brother sing a song together. And he heard it and he liked it. And he said, you know, I think I got something here also. And that's when he introduced the idea to us. I have to be honest, I was a kid, so I was a little scared at the time, thinking that I'm going to be, you know, going on stage, singing in front of so many people. But my brother Raymond was more, you know, excited about it, truthfully. I was always a little nervous. But my father reassured me that he would be there with us all the time, making sure no one, you know, would take advantage of us, etc. So he kind of really started that. And then my brother Charles, my oldest brother, and my brother Ricky were songwriters. So they used to write their own material and put music to it. And that's how we came about with some of the original songs that we sang were because of my brothers.
Tell me a little bit about his group called The Styles.
I don't remember all the members, but I believe it was my brother Ricky, who goes by Rick Anthony in the business. It was Orvin, Ricky, Ruben, and Wes. They had some great songs that they put together.
Did the record come out as The Vels and then they changed their name to The Styles?
It definitely was The Vels, and it definitely was Amy Records, my brother Rick Anthony's group. And they sang Do the Walk, and the flip side of that was called The In-Laws. And at that time, both sides were being played. So even though they were going with the A side, for some reason, some radio stations were flipping it and playing the B side as well.
Everyone decided you sounded really good, but where did you go from there?
Well, my father recorded a demo. He paid for it in a recording studio, and he took the demo with him, and he was going from record company to record company, you know, trying to promote us. And that's when Angletone Record Company, the manager of that record company was Tony Robinson, and he took an interest in what he heard. So he wanted to meet us, so of course my father brought us there the following week, and we sang for him live a cappella, and he really felt that there was something there also, as well as my father did. You know, it wasn't just, you know, something that because your father is your father, but, you know, this actual recording manager actually heard us and said, you know, there's something here, I'd like to record the children, and that's how it started.
What was it like to go into the recording studio?
That part I found exciting, I have to say the truth. Yeah, because I was shy, you know, growing up as a shy little girl. So being in front of so many people, that was the part that I was getting a little bit nervous about. But actually being in the recording studio, that was exciting to me because, you know, it was just the band, my brother and I, my father, and whoever was sitting there in the sound room. That was exciting.
Do you recall the musicians that were present on the recording?
It was musicians from the record company. They hired the musicians directly, so I really didn't know who they were.
Do you recall where the studio was located?
It was located in Manhattan.
After they pressed the record, what happened next?
Then Tony Robinson, along with my father, started booking what they used to call hops back then. You know, I'm going back to early 60s, and they were called hops, and they booked us at hops in Pennsylvania, Connecticut, Philadelphia. That's where we started to perform to two songs that we had recorded.
Do you recall what year that was?
This was about 1960, 61.
So how old were you at the time?
I was 9, going on 10.
You were really young as a duo.
Originally, our name originally was 7-11. That's how young we started singing. I was 7, my brother was 11. But when we went to the recording studio, I had turned 8 already, and my brother was already going on 13. So he said, that name is not going to work. So he came up with the name Ricky and Vicky. So he actually was the one who created that name for us, that stage name.
Doing all those hops had to really be exciting.
It was. It was strange that there was one place, I'm not sure if it was Connecticut or Philadelphia, where you couldn't wear white ankle socks on stage. Well, the girls couldn't anyway. So it was strange that I had to go backstage and take my white ankle socks off and just go on with bare legs and my shoes. Didn't allow white socks to be worn on stage. Yeah, they had a thing regarding that. Why, I don't know. But that was one of the things that that happened out there before we went on stage. I had to take my socks off.
What was one of the biggest performances you were on?
We were actually on the Joe Franklin Memory Lane. We performed there.
For our listeners that may not know Joe Franklin, tell us who he was and how important he was in your area.
Well, he was from New York, and he had not only a radio show, but he also had a TV show, similar to like Ted Knight Amateur Hour. Maybe people are familiar with that.
Yes.
It was a similar show to that. It wasn't a large audience. It was mainly the crew. Joe Franklin, he had a desk by Johnny Carson with two mics, and then there was like a little stage area where artists would perform there. And he usually found talent that wasn't that famous yet, but was ready to, you know, become famous. That was the case with my brother and I. And we went on that show and we performed our two songs. And it was great because when he spoke with us, he said, and I really think these kids are going to make it. They have something unique. Mm. Actually, we were like the first Donnie and Marie before Donnie and Marie came into play.
Tell us the titles of those two songs.
It was Joni and Why Are You So In Love With Me.
Joni being the plug side.
Exactly.
Do you remember that being played on the East Coast?
Yes, we did. Yes, we did.
Do you remember any of the radio stations that played it?
Actually, no, I don't remember the actual name because I know they don't exist today. But we were excited when we heard it the first time on the radio airplay. Yeah, we were really excited, my brother and I.
Where were you the first time you heard it on the radio?
We were home in our dining room, and my father always had music playing. And he says, I don't believe this, and he turns the volume high. And it was us. And my mother goes, Dad, no, that can't be. And I said, oh, my God, Daddy, that's us. And, you know, we all jumped up and down because, of course, we were kids. And it was really an exciting moment.
You had the record out. You were doing the hops. What was next?
We were supposed to appear on the American Bandstand with Dick Clark.
Mm.
And unfortunately, that's when my brother became ill. We weren't able to attend that show. And right after that, that's when the Beatle invasion and the British invasion came to play, like 63, 64. So it kind of squashed a lot of this type of music, truthfully.
Well, I think the Beatles took care of a lot of artists at the time.
Elvis Presley, for a while, didn't even have a hit for a while on the Billboard chart. Unfortunately, that's what happened, the British invasion, and we didn't have quite that sound.
Where did you go from there?
Well, my brother became very, very ill, where he was hospitalized for over a month, and that's when, like I said before, you know, the British invasion, American artists weren't really making it as much as the British artists were, and his illness actually would have taken him like 6 months or so to recuperate from, so all of a sudden everything just started to fade a little bit, little bit, little bit, and then finally we just decided maybe it was too much for my brother at the time to perform, you know, to travel a lot. He needed a lot of bed rest, so we decided to put the career on a hold.
Mm.
Actually, the British invasion helped us put the career back on hold.
Did you continue with singing after that?
I personally, no, but my brother, Raymond, who is known as Ricky in our duet, he still continued with his music. He was in a group with my brother called the 20th Century, and they did like more contemporary music at that time. Their sound was more like the British sound. He was about 15 and a half at the time, and my brother Ricky plays bass guitar, lead guitar. When he was a kid, my Uncle Sal taught him how to play sax, so he's very musically inclined, my brother. He plays a lot of instruments where I do not, I just sang.
So you got out of the music business altogether then?
Exactly, and he continued. And as a matter of fact, the group called the 20th Century, they wrote a score for a movie entitled Maria, and the song was called Mr. Joe. It was like the theme score of the movie. And it was the director who also produced the movie Superman in the 70s, but I just can't think of his name at the moment. So he continued with his career in the music field more than I did, yes. Now he's writing his own material. He's arranging his own material. My niece Melissa has an excellent voice. She sounds similar to Kelly Clarkson, not that I'm trying to brag. And they're together. They're collaborating now as father and daughter. He's trying to get her into the music business now. Because she has the sound, you know, the current sound that they're looking for. She's doing music.
So what are you doing now?
I'm an administrative assistant. I work for a hospital in Brooklyn called Maimonides Medical Center. And I'm an administrator for the nephrology group, which is a group of doctors that deal with kidneys, diabetes, and hypertension.
Did you have any association with other artists on Angletone or Atlas or any other labels?
Yes, the Dixie Cups. They actually did the backup harmony for our two songs when we recorded them. They were in the studio with us.
The Dixie Cups actually recorded for Redbird.
I think they had switched record companies. I'm not sure at that point in time. But yeah, we met them, and they were very nice to us. They, you know, they thought we were cute kids, and they thought that we had a nice, unique sound. And that was exciting, you know, 9, 10 years old, meeting the Dixie Cups, when, you know, they had this real big hit out going to the chapel. So it was, that was exciting, too.
Is there anything else you'd like to talk about?
My influences were Barbra Streisand, Aretha Franklin, and my brother's influence was the Beatles, of course, Stevie Wonder. And we both had the influence of the big band era because of my father's influence.
That actually makes a very interesting combination of influences.
We also met Joey D and the Starlighters, the group that sang the Peppermint Twist. We met them, and we also, my brother and I, were in another group called the Bel Airs, which was like a doo-wop group, too, in the early 60s. And we actually sang at Joey D's nightclub. You know, we sang there and performed there one night. Unfortunately, the lead singer and his brother wanted to branch out on their own, so that group also departed friends, but, you know, we split up after a couple of pops and a couple of shows. We had a group, you know, a good group with good harmony. I was in the background doing harmony. I didn't take any lead at all, neither did my brother Raymond. He mainly did backup.
I've been speaking with Annette Pettignano, and Annette, thank you so much for joining me here at KVMR-FM tonight.
My pleasure. Thank you for allowing me to share, you know, some of my history with you.